Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, August 14th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording in Bethesda, Maryland. Of course, today we have to start with Microsoft's Patch Tuesday. And in the beginning, we do have the usual cumulative Internet Explorer patch that we have pretty much every month. So this patch fixes a good number of new vulnerabilities, but also includes fixes for older vulnerabilities. So if you install Windows from scratch and install this one patch, at least Internet Explorer is up to date. None of the vulnerabilities have been exploited in the wild at this point. However, the exploitability is rated as 1, which means that it's pretty easy to find exploit code for some of these vulnerabilities. MS-1360 is a vulnerability in OpenType fonts, and yes, it can be used for random code execution using the logged-in user. Exploitation is possible via Internet Explorer, so it is possible for you to download a font from a website and then trigger this vulnerability, which is why it's rated critical. MS-1361 does include some publicly disclosed vulnerabilities against Outlook web access. Now, the actual vulnerability here is not necessarily Microsoft code, but really Oracle code. It's these Oracle outside-in libraries that we mentioned a few times in the past. Oracle patched them in April and then later in July. Microsoft licenses that code and uses it as part of Outlook Web Access. These outside-in libraries are used to convert documents into a web displayable format. So if you have a PDF, Word document, or whatnot else, there is a functions library to convert in a way that it can be displayed on a web page or in Internet Explorer, which of course is why Outlook Web Access includes those libraries to be able to display attachments. MS-1362 is a vulnerability in asynchronous RPC requests, and they can lead here to an escalation of privileges. So a normal user would be able to escalate privileges to system. In this case, exploitability is 1, which again means it should be fairly trivial to come up with an actual exploit, even though none is currently known. MS-1363, more privilege escalation vulnerabilities. This one is particularly tricky because one of the flaws has already been released publicly, and while it's not an exploit in itself, it does allow an attacker to bypass an important security feature, ASLR, address space layout randomization. This particular feature is meant to make exploitation harder. So by being able to bypass this feature here, other exploits may actually be made more reliable or easier to execute. MS-1364 is an interesting vulnerability in the Windows NAT driver. So it's one of those basic IP stack vulnerabilities, only exploitable if you actually have NAT enabled. So probably not an issue for workstations, which is why we rated less urgent. And it's only a denial of service vulnerability. No exact details known yet, but it takes a malicious ICMP packet to trigger this vulnerability. And while we are with ICMP, turns out ICMPv6 has issues as well. MS-1365 does fix a problem with ICMP6 that can cause denial of service. Not sure how related that is. 264 says here it's unrelated. And yes, it's not linked to NAT, so it could be used on a server as well as on a client. MS-1366, now that's the one sort of server vulnerability that they had in the pre-announcement, and it affects Active Directory Federation services, which could leak information. Now, information leaks themselves are usually not all that important, but it always depends on what an attacker manages to do with this information. In this case, it may, for example, be possible to then lock out accounts and essentially block access to federated services. In addition to these bulletins, Microsoft also did publish two additional security-related fixes, not necessarily patching vulnerabilities, but the first one affects the remote desktop protocol, RDP, and it essentially by default now forces network-level authentication, so even before you see the login screen, you do authentication via the network. Then the other fix applied here is that MD5 root certificates are no longer allowed. This is kind of overdue here, but of course Windows and Microsoft tries to support a lot of legacy certificates, which is probably why this fix was so late. But well, there was more than just Microsoft patch today. Kind of an interesting paper about Dropbox security and how to bypass it. Nothing really all that revolutionary, but essentially what it comes down to is how does the Dropbox application actually remember your credentials? In particular, if you have two-factor authentication enabled, and it kind of turns out that what happens after the initial login, that the application does store essentially a key, a host ID as they call it, that's then used instead of the actual login credentials. Now, later versions of Dropbox encrypt the particular SQL file, but of course the encryption key is inside the Dropbox application, so it's still possible for an attacker who has a hold of that particular file to then decrypt it. I don't think it's a big surprise that this vulnerability exists, just because if you don't have to enter your password, well, it's actually better to do it this way than to actually store the password in the application. The only problem here is that changing your password on the website does not invalidate necessarily these host ID keys. And then we have a second paper, actually, just like this paper I just mentioned. They were presented at the USENIX conference. This paper does describe an attack against Bind that may aid in DNS cache poisoning. Now, in order to do DNS cache poisoning, of course, the big problem has always been the query ID, or more lately, to guess the source port. But another sort of minor issue that you have to solve is what DNS server the host will actually use to query if there are multiple authoritative DNS servers. Turns out that Bind has an algorithm where it tries to find the best responding DNS server, and that algorithm can be fooled in order to force Bind to connect to a specific DNS server. So you make it a little bit easier here to do DNS cache poisoning. I don't really see this as a very important new attack, but interesting nonetheless. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.